Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Back in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Time to look ahead to Sunday's action. Fantasy football. Yahoo Fantasy's Andy Barron stops by for his weekly visit here in the Sports Bar. And before we look ahead, let's look back quickly to what we saw last night, because there's some concern now about who might be running the ball in San Francisco. Andy, your takeaways from the Week 6 kickoff on Prime last night.
First of all, my first takeaway as somebody who is a longtime believer in DK Metcalf, my goodness, he was so close to a monster night. He had one touchdown that he lost because like a toenail was out of bounds, and another touchdown that he lost to one of the most ridiculous and irrelevant penalties I have seen called this year that had no impact on the play. So I'm still reeling from that. I'm still kind of in my feelings about it. The big ongoing storyline from that one is obviously going to be Jordan Mason's shoulder. I didn't think we saw too much from Patrick Taylor Jr. In relief of Mason. He did see the most snaps. It was Isaac Garendo, the rookie, who actually saw the most carries, and he broke off a big play, the 75-yard run. We saw some really nice moments from him in the preseason too. In that late Raiders game, he also the thing to really know about Garendo is he tested basically at the top of the charts or off the charts at the scouting combine. Right, he was a 4.3 guy at 220 pounds. His vertical was 41.5 inches. Crazy three cone. Like, he's a phenomenal athlete, and you can see it when he's in breakaway situations. So if Mason is limited, Garendo's really the guy that I'm interested in.
Andy Barron's Yahoo Fantasy joining us on the Sports Bar. Andy, we spend a lot of time on our show talking about the Buffalo Bills. From a fantasy standpoint this week, and it certainly does not look promising that James Cook with a turf toe will be playing, this is Jets defense that you can kind of sort of run against. Are you thinking, because maybe these guys are still available in some leagues, either Ty Johnson and or Ray Davis, part one of the question, part two, or just avoiding the Bills here maybe altogether outside of Josh Allen, knowing that, well, there are a lot of injuries and it hasn't looked good here the last couple weeks?
Yeah, there is definitely a slice of the fantasy industry that is particularly interested in Davis. I just happen to think they like Ty Johnson. Like, I think Ty Johnson's a pretty good player, not a star player. He's not a Cook level player, but they clearly like it. I mean, you know, he vultured a touchdown not that long ago from James Cook. They like him at the goal line. They like him as a receiver. So I'm a little bit more interested in him, but there's kind of a thrill of the unknown thing with Davis that I think a lot of people are attracted to, which is fine. It's just this, that, I mean, this feels like a low scoring game, right? Maybe it won't be. So we're often surprised by things like that. The big thing for me, just looking at Buffalo is, you know, and I feel like this is something that we talked about weeks ago, you know, a lot of questions about the receiving core coming into the season and the fact that almost everybody here profiles as a slot receiver. You know, you got to find somebody who can win on the boundary consistently, and stretch the field, be like an outside the numbers guy. They have an almost perfectly Davante Adams shaped hole in the offense right now. Right. I don't know any other way to put it. Like, and there's a guy out there that can be acquired theoretically. That's what they need.
We've got a lot of injuries to deal with here in week six. Some teams getting healthier as well. Anthony Richardson looks like he might be ready to return against Tennessee on Sunday. Jonathan Taylor, though, in the backfield, not so much. What was your takeaway from Trey Sermon's performance in week five? And do we expect something similar out of him coming up here in week six?
This is a pretty frisky Tennessee defense, and Tennessee is kind of, you know, Will Levis has sort of dominated the fantasy discussion about Tennessee because he's just, you know, there's a couple plays a game that just can't happen in the NFL. And that's sort of been the fantasy story there. But man, Tennessee has been a problem in the trenches. They were a nightmare for Caleb Williams in week one. They've just, you know, they've got some dudes on defense. So it's not a dream matchup by any means. And I don't know that, that Trey Sermon or Tyler Goodson are guys who can overcome a somewhat difficult matchup. So I don't have the enthusiasm for Sermon this week that I did last week. I thought he was a really strong play. This week, I think he's just a guy that you can, you know, he's slotted like in the mid 20s in our running back ranks. He's not somebody that I'm proactively going out and trying to get and trying to play. And that's, you know, no real disrespect to him. I think he's fine. I just think this is a much more troubling matchup than last week's.
Andy, I thought Houston last week, there was two different Houstons. You had Houston with Nico Collins, and then he gets hurt, and it didn't look so good. So we know Collins isn't available, and you may look at this and say, hey, it's an easy opponent here, the Patriots. I don't know. I'm a little trepidatious. These are some of these situations where you might experience a letdown. What's your advice as far as where the target share may now go in Houston? Are you comfortable playing a Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, or is this a situation you got to be cautious in?
You know, you're right to point out that it's, you know, it feels like kind of a trappish sort of game, right? Because we've got, you know, these aren't the Patriots of Jacoby Brissett. These aren't like the really boring Patriots that we saw for the first month of the season. This is Drake May, and we don't exactly know what it's going to look like, but it was really fun in the preseason. And May obviously adds an element that is just simply not present with Brissett. So this game's a little trappy. I agree with you on that front. Nico Collins is a huge subtraction from any offense. And he to this point had almost solidified himself, I think, as a top four, maybe five receiver in the league. He's winning at every level, right? Like he's an elite deep threat, but he's, you know, he can be a chain mover for you too. He could just function at any level of the field. And Nico Collins was playing great football, and there's not another guy like that. I mean, in fairness to the Texans, there's not another guy like, no team has two guys like that. You know, maybe the Bengals kind of do, but almost no team has two dudes like that. So really tough loss. Diggs is the player who is more interesting to me because Tank Dell is, I think at this point we have to, you know, if you really key in on him, as you watch some of these games, I think it's almost unmistakable that he's not quite back to where he was last year, not quite back to where he was pre-injury. So I'm a little bit less interested in Dell. And then there's nobody beyond that that you're interested in. The good news for Houston is that their backfield is getting healthier, and Joe Mixon has practiced like a couple times this week, and Damian Pierce seems like he's going to be back. So, man, I just got to tell you, there's no drop in fantasy football that is any sweeter than finally dropping Cam Akers. I did it a couple times today. Felt so good, man.
Congratulations, Andy.
That's
all right.
Good. I hope to feel something similar. And this is one of those rare instances where a guy goes backwards on the injury report. And I'm talking about the backfield in Tampa Bay. If you invested in Rashad White based on what he did down the stretch last year, you've been kind of disappointed in what he's done for you this year. And especially when you consider there's another guy in that backfield. Is this the week that Bucky Irving really, really presents in a way that makes it, you know, you can't put White back in there? The Irving genie is out of the bottle after this week if White misses this weekend?
You know, I feel like I've been having this conversation for a month because, you know, if people haven't watched much Tampa Bay football, like Irving just has gears that are not, and it's not even fair to White.
He's better.
You know, to Rashad, like, he's better. He's just got gears that not many people have. And he makes a play per game that is just jaw dropping stuff. That Denver game was ridiculous. And I know that he doesn't have like a real signature performance yet, but it is crazy to me that we're not giving Bucky Irving, I don't know, let's see what it looks like on 15 carries, you know, and Rashad White can still have a role and he's fine in pass protection. And he's a really good route running back. Like he's got his uses, but man, we got to find a way when we get in positive game script to give Bucky Irving 15, 16, 17 carries and just see what that looks like. Cause he is a live wire. He is electric.
Andy, the one game I think we're looking forward to, and I think many of us will see in late TV window, Detroit and Dallas, 4:25 Eastern, a rematch of a game last year where, gosh, how did Detroit end up losing that? And you just go back to the sequence at the end. You know they're going to be, I would figure they're going to be up for this. My question is, where is the line when it comes to playing Detroit Lions players in a game where we kind of figure or hope there's going to be a lot of points?
You are referring to the Laporta line, aren't you? That's what
we could call it, the Laporta line. Sure, yeah. I mean, is this finally the week where we get rewarded for drafting him in the fourth round or third round?
that's kind of where you actually start scratching your head with Detroit at this point, because we know that both running backs are starting for us. They're both great. That, you know, the other thing we have to mention here is that Dallas, which was a defense that was not playing well to start the season, is now down Michael Parsons and Lawrence, and like, this is a shell of the defense that they came into the season with. So great matchup. It's been a great matchup for running backs all year. So easy to imagine Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery both finishing as top 10 fantasy backs this week. We're starting Williams. We're starting Amon-Ra. Probably starting Jared Goff. He probably squeezes into the top 12 at quarterback. It's Laporta who's been the odd man out to this point. I will just say Laporta was a very good red zone option last year, and we're going to see those opportunities come back at some point this season. He also came into the year with an ankle injury, so I feel like we're not giving him enough credit perhaps for playing through injury status and maybe coming out of the bye. He's a little bit better. Also, tight end is just a barren wasteland. And so if you've got Laporta, you've got to keep leaning on him, because there's not, you know, it's not like the waiver wire at tight end is just full of gems right now. You know, you'll just be chasing after the guy who happened to catch two balls and one of them was a touchdown, and then he's not going to do anything the rest of the season. So you're married to Sam Laporta at this point. You've got to keep rolling with him.
What are you saying to the Breece Hall owner at this point of the season?
This is a big one. This is really a big one, because often Braylon Allen actually looks, I mean, like, Allen looks like he deserves to play. This isn't one of those things where like we should be getting mad at the decision for to give Allen all these touches. He looks like he deserves them. So it is a tricky situation. We do have a matchup here where, the Ravens certainly had plenty of success against Buffalo running the football. It should be a pretty good setup. Hall himself has had some really nice moments against the Bills in the past. So he's going to have a big one. I feel like this is the spot. You should be feeling a little bit, little bit leery. Of course, you can't bench Breece Hall. We've seen too many big moments from him. He's a very good player. The Jets got a lot of stuff they got to figure out. Now we have, new play calling situation there. We have, the coach getting fired. So we've got some upheaval. And it's going to be interesting to see if the backfield mix remains the same. I imagine it will, again, because Allen just looks that good.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, is our guest here. How are we feeling about the Philadelphia Eagles? Kind of a little bumpy road here, but They're coming off a bye, and they're getting a little bit healthier, and they get an opponent that's down and out. Are we feeling good about the Eagles playing their players this week?
Yeah, you got to feel great about them getting both Smith and Brown back. It's been a long road for those of us who've been waiting on AJ Brown, but he's finally going to be back. It's kind of all systems go for that team, and they're a very simple team for fantasy purposes, right? Because Smith and Brown are just too good to sit. Hurts and Barkley are not guys that you ever think about sitting. This probably hits Dallas Goedert pretty hard, because he'd stepped up with a couple of big target games and some nice fantasy efforts with Smith and Brown out of the mix. But that's probably gone. We're probably back to like 5-6 targets for Dallas Goedert, and you're hoping for a touchdown. This Cleveland defense hasn't quite been the same as it was last year either. It's still good. They still have Pro Bowlers at every level. Garrett is still playing really, really well. He was leading the NFL in pressure rate as of last week. So, they've got some dudes, but it's not performing at the elite level that it was last year. So I kind of think it's just all systems go for Philly.
Andy, similarly, let's talk a little bit about that early game on Sunday. Our Bears are in London. Caleb continues to improve week in and week out. Are you rolling with Williams, Swift, DJ Moore, and the like against the Jags from London?
Yeah, the Jags are as good a matchup as it gets, basically, for a quarterback, right? They haven't picked off a pass this year. They're dead last in the NFL in terms of passing yards allowed. 8+ yards per attempt on the season. And Williams is coming off, you know, and he's got over 300 yards in two of the last three games. He's coming off the best game he's played. Yes, it was against Carolina, but this is what we want people to do when they have a good matchup. We want them to crush it, and that's what he did. The other really encouraging thing last week is there were finally a few deep balls where he was on the same page as a receiver, which, you know, frustratingly we had not seen all year. Like, we know that Caleb Williams can hit some deep shots. Like, that was part of the story of his collegiate career. That's not really an open question, but it's been ugly until very recently. But that, you know, that deep touchdown to DJ Moore was great to see. There was a deep out to Cole Kmet that was great to see. So things are kind of clicking right now. And again, this matchup is too good to pass on. Caleb is one of those guys where, like, you know, if you've been holding on to him all year, hadn't dropped him yet in a one quarterback league, and you've got some question marks, I'd roll him out there. I would proactively be looking to start Caleb Williams this week. He's also, you know, one of my favorite things about him from a fantasy perspective, he's not the most aggressive runner in the league, but he is smart and opportunistic about it. He had a touchdown, a rushing touchdown negated by penalty last week. And it was just a good decision, good play that got wiped out. He's going to give us three or four more rushing touchdowns before it's done.
Yeah, I'm pulling for you guys here, Bear fans here. starting off our Sunday. Andy, last one for me, and this goes back to not last night, but the previous Thursday. Oh, finally. Now, there you have the Atlanta Falcons putting up points and 500 yards from Cousins. Finally, Drake London looking like where we've expected him to be. Is this going to continue? Because you look on paper, this is Carolina, you would think here. So what is your advice? What's your read here on the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, we're not going to get 58 pass attempts from Kirk in this one. That's an outlier total, right? That is, you know, it's a function of game flow last week. And it's just, you know, it's almost unfair to do the Panthers. I don't think we're going to see that. Ideally, this would be the get-right week for Bijan Robinson. And Bijan has a couple of touches every game where you're like, wow, this must be the best running back in the NFL. That guy's crazy. And then at the end of the day, he doesn't have a touchdown and he's got, like, you know, he's got 80 yards and it's fine, but it's not a difference making performance. This should be the spot. Carolina is about as friendly as it gets. They've allowed the most fantasy points to opposing running backs. So, man, if Bijan can't get in on that party, it becomes a concern. He hasn't reached double digit fantasy points in either of the last two games, but I think he should really crush this week, and we're going to be concerned if he doesn't.
Make Andy Behrens a part of your Sunday morning routine. Yahoo Fantasy, set your lineup. Yeah. Andy, tell us about Fantasy Football Live and where we can check you out.
I really appreciate that. Yeah. Fantasy Football Live is our hour long pregame show on Sundays. We go through all of the late breaking injury information that you need, actives, inactives. We answer questions from viewers, from readers, and we debate a whole bunch of topics. Very fun show. Please check us out on Yahoo.
Yeah. And especially this week, there's no Bills football on Sunday. Check Andy out and give him a shot there.
And no excuse.
No excuse. Well, we'll see what kind of mood you're in there. You know, hopefully it's a good one with the Bears taking big. You know, this is the rare Sunday where we'll see what Andy, where your temperature is there when you go on live. Andy, always appreciate it.
I am worried that they're going to ask me questions on the show live, and I'm going to be like, oh, what? I'm sorry. I wasn't saying it, you know, because I'm going to have a two-screen experience going while being on air, which is always difficult.
Okay, I'm a Met fan. Like, Danger's ready to kill me this week because he's asking me questions. I'm just like, what? Oh, a pitch. Yeah, I can't understand.
Well, Andy, you're a pro's pro. We appreciate you checking in, and we'll do it again next week, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Good luck this weekend, everybody.
Thanks, Andy.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, the best. Love him joining us every Friday to help set your lineup for week 6. And we're all immune to it. I shouldn't be critical, Gene. If the Bears were playing, or if there was a team on, if the, you know, the Blackhawks were playing, I'd be paying attention. Usually it doesn't happen while we're on the air, but this is a special time of year. Remember, we used to have those games where we would actually be off the air those afternoons of the divisional and wild card games, and we could actually watch them free of distraction of being in a studio.
It's one thing to do a show, right? Maybe you can kind of time it a little bit. But when you're calling a game and Penn State football's playing, and I'm like, yep, I'm not mentioning the name, but I'm like, yep.
Come back to us.
Yeah. But I can't say anything because who knows? Who knows how far these Mets go?
Yeah.
Could the world have lined up better? Game two for the Mets is 1 o'clock Pacific time on Monday, which means 4 o'clock, and we'll be in Bill's pregame. Monday, we have the heavy lift, 3 o'clock. Quick story here, Dave.
Yeah.
Because one of our regulars, you know, texted me today, like, hey, I want to come on the show and tell you about me running in the Chicago Marathon. Like, Monica and Joey are getting married on the 19th. So not this Saturday, but the following Saturday.
Yeah.
They're going to run a marathon.
This weekend.
I'm like, are you nuts? Don't get hurt.
No.
I sound like a dad here.
They're not going to get hurt. They're not going to. Are you kidding me? They're in amazing shape. They're a power couple. They're not getting hurt. And I'm insanely jealous. I was being there last weekend, and I actually physically said this, so I'm kind of willing it into existence. Don't hold me to this.
Oh, no. You're training
for
a marathon?
Or hold me to this. One or the other. I don't know which way I'm going yet, but the Chicago Marathon occurs the second Sunday of October annually. So I missed it by a weekend. They're there this weekend. I was there last weekend, and I've always thought about running the Chicago Marathon. I have friends who have done it. They loved it, and they had a blast. And I haven't run a marathon in, I want to say, over 10 years. It's been a while.
This would be a lot of training. I would think at least 6 months leading up to it.
18 weeks.
You could do it in 18 weeks.
Give me 18 weeks. Yeah, I could. I think I could pound out a training for a marathon in 18 weeks. Then follow the program and see how it goes. I mean, there's a lot that has to happen for me to even say. But, you know, once you register, you're committed. Once you're in, you're in. There's no turning back. Well, there is, but I'm not going to do that. So I even said it to my daughter. I said, we were walking around. We saw the marathon signs. I'm like, because, you know, you're in the moment. You're enjoying the city, and you're walking around, and you're like, God, this is great. What a great time we're having. Maybe next year we'll come back for the Chicago Marathon.
So for folks who don't know, like New York, anybody can enter. Boston, you got to be invited. Chicago, anybody can enter?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's not Boston. Boston's the tough one. Boston's the one who's like, hey, I'll let Joey Kipchoge go run Boston. I'll stay away from that one. Rochester, you know, the Rochester Marathon was always fun. I enjoyed doing that. There's other marathons. You know, there's no shortage of ways for you to run a marathon in our area. We have a great running community, and I appreciate that we have the running community we have. But, like, the weather this week has been just, like, perfect. If they get this weather at the Chicago Marathon, and it's been dicey. There's been some years where it's been really, really hot. What a great weekend for those two. And leading up to them getting married the following weekend,
right, yeah.
Fantastic. Good for them. Now, you're not officiating the wedding.
I cannot.
Because you're not an ordained minister.
No, not asked to officiate, just asked to not even be the wedding DJ.
You're the MC.
I would just been like, and for the first time as husband, I'm pouring it on here, but like that's,
yes.
I would just be like, you know, and that would, and I felt so bad because, well, the RT schedule came out, that's Brick City, and I knew those were gonna collide, so
boy.
I had to turn it down. They were totally cool about it,
though. Well, I'm very excited for them, not just for this weekend, and living vicariously through them this weekend in the Chicago Marathon, but of course starting their lives together next weekend with their marriage. That's fantastic. A couple of our regulars here in the sports bar. Tying the knot. Love to see it. And maybe. I'll keep you posted.
You don't have to make that decision.
Not right away.
But I know you. You get the seasonality depression January, February, March. If you would start turning into a slug, I'm going to be like, hey, marathon.
I don't know that I'll turn into a slug. This is a milestone year. January will be a milestone. So if it's a milestone year, maybe I use that as motivation.
Do you like Bob Costas or not milestone? 50, right? Right?
Yeah. I'm not at the threshold that we determined earlier. 55 would be the threshold. I'm going to be 70. Do I look good for 70? I feel like I look pretty good for 70.
How old is John from Rochester? He's He's in his 70s.
A Spartan.
He's
an absolute Spartan.
He breaks his foot. Oh, no problem.
Yeah, just rolled out of bed with a broken foot and walks it off. Guy's an absolute warrior. Love it. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I got a non-sports take, and man, I'm experiencing FOMO that goes beyond Monica and Joey running in the Chicago Marathon. There's something that's been going on, and it's been happening with more regularity this summer and this fall, and for the life of me, I can't figure it out, so you might have to walk me through this. And this would have been a nice thing for us to know before we made our bold predictions for the season, because the AP just likes to kind of make things up as they go, and they actually didn't make it up as they go, but I think they're trying to atone for a horrible mistake made in one of the awards they doled out last year.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and ultimately, I don't know if it's going to make a difference. I've got a take here because it's never too soon, Danger, to talk about this. Hey, which teams in the next month will be doing the quiet tank to improve their draft position? And if we look at, okay, the draft order right now, there's a few surprises here. We'll get to this.
Okay, we've got more on the way. And don't forget, coming up at 425, our buddy Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential. We'll check in with New York here in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.